This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey all, Peter Zion here, coming to you from just outside of Kingston, New Zealand. This is Lake Wakatipu. Today we're going to take an entry from the Patreon page. Specifically, let's see if I can get this quote right. You've talked a lot of shit about solar power and the green transition. That's a quote. But you've never really talked badly about wind. Why? Is there something we should be worried about? Is there something we should be aware of? Short version of why the green transition is problematic in my point of view is that most of the equipment that has been put down to this point hasn't gone in the right places. Most advanced countries tend to be in temperate zones with big swings between summer and winter, which means that things like solar are always going to be at disadvantage because they can't provide baseload. You know, sun goes down, yes, problem. Number two, winter is a problem. And places that are very, very sunny, like, say, Sicily, are either too mountainous or too far from population centers. So if you're going to put solar panels up in, say, Berlin, you will never pay down the carbon cost, much less the economic cost that it took to install the things in the first place. There's also a problem with raw materials. The processed silicon that goes into PV cells is one of the most energy-intensive things that can be done by humans. Pound per pound, it's something like 35, 40 times as carbon-intensive as making steel. And a lot of that is done by slave labor in Zhejiang in China on top of that. So, you know, fun. Wind doesn't have most of these problems. I mean, yes, there are obviously places in the world that are windier than others, and the geography of green power still matters, but in terms of raw materials, they do require a lot, but they require copper, which it's difficult for me to envision a world where there's a huge copper shortage. Zinc, which is spread around the world in terms of production and processing, so that doesn't go away. And then chromium, which is not something that is particularly rare either. It's not that there aren't some sticking points, but there's nothing like you would have when you're looking at, say, electric vehicles or battery technology, where it's just so much of the core material is relatively rare and in geographically concentrated positions. Second, there's the issue of improvement in the technology. Yes, solar has gotten incrementally better year on year for the last 30 years, and that is great. But wind? Whew. Wind, they've discovered that if you make a turbine tall enough, it doesn't even matter if it's windy on the ground. So we now have turbines going in that are 800 feet high and higher. And with that sort of range, you can actually tap into currents that are much stronger and far more reliable than what you would get closer to the ground. And so in places like West Texas and Iowa, we have for a couple of years now already seen significant baseload power coming from wind. Baseload versus intermittent. Let me explain that real quick. So baseload is you have it pretty much all day, and you know the wind blows at night. Whereas intermittent means that when the wind stops, you don't get power anymore. Wind used to be a primarily intermittent power source, although you could get some at night. Solar will always be intermittent because you can only get it when the sun's out, and you can only get it when it's not cloudy. So whether it's a geography issue, a materials issue, or just the mechanics of what green tech is, wind looks a lot more stable. And then finally, there's a labor issue. Solar panels and all of the attendant things that go with it require fingers and eyes for their manufacture and especially assembly. Wind is, oversimplifying here, a big turbine and a bunch of big blades, and then you're done. And those blades are typically some sort of carbon fiber, which is something that's not particularly difficult to manufacture. So no matter what happens with the green transition, no matter what happens with the world of electricity moving forward, wind is a far more durable component of our future. And that's before you consider that it also generates a lot more electricity per dollar. So for every dollar that you put into generating, say, solar power, you'd actually get twice as much electricity coming from wind. And that means in places such as the Wind Belt in the United States, the Great Plains, wind has long been the cheapest source of power and has been driving other sources of power out of business, especially once they started to address the intermittency issue. So, wind looks good, no matter where it happens to be. Some places are better than others. Try to move there if you can, or at least get a wire that takes the power to you. Oh, one more quick thing. Why you haven't heard this before is simply due to a combination of the Inflation Reduction Act and personal preferences. You see, the IRA provided cash for anyone who, or credits, tax credits, for anyone who could put up green tech. And while not everyone can have, say, a wind turbine at their house, anyone can put up solar panels. So wind turbines very rarely go to places that are not windy, whereas solar panels often go to places that are not sunny because individuals could do it. So for example, the state in the United States with the highest penetration per capita of solar panels is Vermont, our least sunny state. And so just like Berlin, they will never generate enough electricity to pay down the carbon cost, much less the economic cost of installation. With wind, you don't have that problem because, you know, you're not going to put one of these turbines that's 800 feet tall on your roof.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.